I like analogies too. Never did understand the Forrest Gump analogy of life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Mostly because if you flip the box over, it tells you on the bottom what they are. So just in case you were ever wondering, you just look at the bottom. It tells you what you need to know there. But it's chocolate, yeah. If you don't like the orange one, look at the bottom. It'll tell you, you know. One of the things that I always enjoyed, I had one of my first, I would call real job, was working at Six Flags. I was a ride operator, so it was my job to tell people to get on the ride, to buckle up, stop unbuckling themselves, you don't want to fall out on the rapids, you know, and have people go around the rides. But one of the awesome benefits of that job, and one of the biggest reasons I took that job, is that I got to go into the park for free. So what I do is I go with my buddies before work, and we'd go just, you know, we'd figure out which places were the best, and so we kind of figured out what times to go to what places to ride different rides, and the roller coasters were always my favorite. Something about a good roller coaster, something about climbing into the car, and, you know, of course I had to try every spot, the front, the back, and the back is the best. Anybody that tells you differently is wrong. And I'll tell you why the back is best. It catches the most momentum, right? You watch everybody go over the top of the hill, right? And they're going down and they're screaming and you haven't even got there yet. And then when it pulls you over, woo, now you're riding. But the thing about a roller coaster is that there are so many people that want to ride that roller coaster, aren't there? Have you ever walked up? Listen, I'll tell you a secret. If you're going to go to Elitch's, go as soon as they open and go straight to the roller coasters, okay? That's the only way you're going to get on quickly, okay? But you wait in this line, right? And we do this. We wait in line for, like, you know, for lucky 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, hour and a half. And you stand there in this line, and hopefully you have good company so that you're not getting too bored. And the intensity builds, right? You start getting up. You get closer. They start queuing you in, and then all of a sudden you hit boom, 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 and now it's time to start shuffling to where I want to go. Like, I can get one of those middle ones. Nobody wants that, but I want on the end one, so I'm still going to keep going this way. We get this roller coaster, and we get on, and we go through, and it is so exciting when you're on there. You just feel all of the ups and downs of the roller coaster, and it's so exciting for a minute, and then it's over, right? And you come to this stop, and then you have to wait an hour and a half again. Life can kind of be like that, can't it? Where we hit these moments where things are just awesome, and you stop and you rejoice. And, you know, one of the good things about looking back on a year or coming to an end of a year is that you do stop, right? You slow down just for a minute, and you look and you ask yourself, where are things at? And when you can look back and you can go, wow, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Like being able to look back and go, God has given me the most wonderful little boy. I mean, he is a chatterbox. I know he's going to be able to be a preacher someday because he's already doing it. He sits there and talks and talks and talks, and I love seeing my son grow, and I love watching him become this good little man. And I love watching my little girl. I love the fact that over this last year, she's really started getting her personality. And if you have not received a kiss yet from my daughter, it's because you haven't been around her long enough. This little girl will just, she doesn't care who you are. She loves people. She blows kisses. She, you know, and when you look at life and you see, you know, all of these wonderful things and all of this momentum, you start to think certain things will always be that way, right? We have a tendency to just go through life, and when things are up and when they're high, we feel really, really good. But life doesn't always stay good, does it? Life doesn't always have moments where we hit things and we're like, wow, this is amazing and great, and it just stays there. And the reality is, this is the truth for Peter, James, and John, right? Okay, so before our Christmas service, we talked about how Peter, James, and John were with Jesus up on the mountain, and they saw Jesus glorified, okay? Now, I can't even imagine how a roller coaster could even compare to that. You're there with the one that you've stated is the Messiah. You believe it. You know it with all your heart. This is the Son of God. I know that he's the one. I know that he's going to lead us into this kingdom. And you're excited. And then you get up on top of this mountain. And not only do you see him, you see him shining bright. He is glorified. And two of the greatest men in Israel's history are standing on either side of him. And it's so awe-inspiring that you say something stupid and God shines down and says, listen, my son is the one you need to hear. Man, that's a life-changing event, isn't it? That's the type of thing that when you're sitting down in your old age, the grandkids walk up and tell you, hey, Grandpa, tell me again about how Jesus was glorified in front of you. It's one of those life changing moments. And so you would think, coming off of this, that things would be amazing as they're coming down and talking to each other about what they've seen. But the reality is they came back into the world. In Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed with a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at his mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at his mouth. Jesus answered the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that crowd, that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. See, life comes with crashes. Life comes with moments where we start out and we feel like things are great. I can just imagine how much Peter, James, and John wanted to go to the other disciples and just tell them about how amazing this experience was. And what had been revealed to them, and the fact that they could trust in who Jesus was, and yet what they end up experiencing is coming back to see men filled with critical spirits. Now, I'm not going to delve into that, because we've talked a lot about the dangers of critical spirits. But the reality of this is that here they are, at a moment that should have been a peak, a moment that should have elevated them and caused them to be strengthened, and they end up walking into the midst of total and complete turmoil. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've felt this way. where I look at life and I think it's always supposed to be good. When things are high, they're always supposed to stay high. And this is God, the proof that God is with me, that my life is going well, that everything is good, that there's no hiccups, that things are moving the way that they're supposed to be moving. But brothers and sisters, that's a lie. That is the biggest lie that we have bought as Christians, is that somehow being a Christian elevates us past our problems. That it means that things are going to be smooth and no bumps in the road the whole way through. That when you reach this point where you see God glorified, where you see the amazing things that God is doing, that it's just going to keep coasting that way. And we feel that way so many times, right? We are able to see what God is doing and feel this presence. And then when the wind comes out of our sails, where do we land? Where do we land? Years ago, I decided that I needed to make amends to my family. Most of you know I came from a pretty broken family. And as part of my healing process, I needed to go back home and to forgive family members and to ask them to forgive me. And I remember talking to one of my uncles. And he looked at me and he said, "John, you're riding pretty high right now. We'll see what kind of man you are when the world hits you in the face." I thought that was an interesting statement. It felt very unloving at the time. But the reality of it is what he said was not wrong. What he said wasn't wrong. You see, my life was going good. I was married. I had work. I was doing well, and I was just trying to make things right in my past. But then the world started kicking me in the teeth. And all of a sudden, I didn't have a job anymore. I was in a recession, and there wasn't another one around the bend. And then my wife, who I loved, told me she was done. She didn't want me anymore. It was time for me to leave. And I went from this place of feeling like God was with me to wondering, what on earth had I done to deserve this? How on earth did I end up in this place, in this moment, where I was homeless, where all I had was my car and no job? I found out what kind of man I was that day. And it wasn't because I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. It wasn't because I looked and I said, "I'm going to get through this. I can overcome. I can do." No. In that moment, in that day, I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord and I said, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. I don't know where I'm supposed to go with this. How do I get through this moment in my life?" There are crashes, and granted, this is probably not a huge crash, okay, running into these, but it hit me. It really struck me that life is like that. We hit highs and lows, okay, and the lows don't mean God's not with you. The lows do not mean God is not with you, because I think people feel that way. They get discouraged. They get run down, they get tired, and they start to believe, "I need to do something different. Something has to change in my life." Not because there's anything wrong with their life, but because they are just looking and they're in a low, they're in the struggle, and they don't know where to turn. These disciples went from a high place to having to deal with and confront people who had a wrong perspective, people that were trying to create a critical environment that took the wind out of their sails. The second thing that we have to realize is that life comes sometimes with long lows. God never promised that things were going to bounce back quickly. And that was the case with this guy, this poor father. Now, one thing that I feel like I have to point out when we look at him, when we see this man, is that this son was not a young son, okay? The reason I say that is because when you look at and you see Jesus asking the question, he says, how long has your son dealt with this issue? What's the father's response? From his youth, okay? From his youth. So he's still a boy. Jesus calls him a boy, but he's not a little child. It's not like Melody, okay? It's not like JJ. This is a older child. And this father has over and over and over again endured hardship. Over and over and over again had to turn around in fear and wonder, is my son going to fall into the water today? Is he going to fall into a fire today? What is my son going to endure today? What struggle is he going to go through today? Now, Julie and I, we've been really blessed. Melody is like any other kid, except that she does things a little slower than everybody else. But there's a lot of parents with children with disability that don't have that same reality, that their whole life becomes about having to take care of that child. You know, our HOA threw a party to try and encourage people to come and look. There's some changes, things that are going to be happening in our condos. And one of the ladies that was there with her daughter had Down syndrome. And I just was casually having conversation, and I said, so what do you do with your time? She goes, I take care of my daughter. That's what I do with my time. I have taken care of my daughter her whole life. And it's so painful to hear those things, because this woman's whole life has been nothing but making sure that her daughter had everything that she needed. And I know there are people in our congregation that can relate to that. There are people here who know what it's like to over and over and over again have to deal with the pain and the struggles that were happening. And so this man is looking for something. His life is in a low spot, and here comes Jesus. Now, how many times have you gone through life and thought you figured it out? Thought you had the answer to something, right? Right? We do that. We're like, oh, I got this. Here's how it's going to work out. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And once I do this, this is going to happen. And God laughed. We get these plans, and we start getting this mindset of, this is going to work out if I do this. And sometimes it does, right? The lady with the bleeding, when she came up to Jesus, it worked out. She had a plan. Nothing else worked. I'm going to try Jesus. She goes out. She touches him. She's healed. But this man first comes to the apostles. He first comes to the disciples. Now, these are men that are fully equipped to cast out demons, okay? They've already been sent out before to do this very work. So it's not like he went to somebody who had never accomplished what he was asking them to do. But the disciples, he goes to them, and they try to heal this man's son, and nothing happens. Can you imagine how that would feel? Can you imagine how hard that would be to look and go, man, this miracle worker, and he sent these people out, and they can't heal my son. Now, the reality of all of this is that this man is in a place that seems hopeless. You ever feel hopeless? You ever feel like things are just not going to go right? I've done everything I can do. I've pushed as hard as I can push. And I got no more. I'm done. That's a common human denominator. If you haven't felt that way, wait. It's coming. we all struggle. And we all have those moments where we feel like things are not going to work out. Now, some people look and say Jesus was sharp with the Father. They try and make Jesus' statement a criticism of this man's faith. And that makes me angry, okay? We've talked about before, and this will always be clear. You give God the faith that you have, and you trust in him to grow it, okay? God is not looking at you and saying, get more faith, get more faith, get more faith. He simply says, believe in me, put your faith in me, and I will help you to grow. I will give you the strength. And so when Jesus said in Mark 9:19, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. This was not about the Father, okay? I want to be very, very clear. This was not about the Father. This was about the teachers of the law. This was about a group of men who are standing around while this man is hurting, while he's in deep pain, and they are mocking Jesus' disciples. They are standing there and criticizing them and saying, see, you're not God's children. You're not doing God's work, because if you were doing God's work, you would be able to cast out that demon. Well, Mr. Know-it-all, teacher of the law, you first. They did not look and say, hey, you know what? We need to try and do something to help this man too. No, their focus was on, we don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and so whatever you say, whatever you do, we don't care. It doesn't work. How horrible. How horrible to have no care or concern about what this man has been through. Brothers and sisters, that's what legalism does. We must always be so, so careful. We honor God's word here, and we will always honor God's word here, but we will never do that at the expense of love. We will never do that at the expense of losing sight of people who are heartbroken, who are hurting, and who need someone to come and embrace them. Do people walk in here with sinful lives? Yes, they do. We've had people walk through these doors on drugs and drunk. We've had people walk in here who I'm sure said some things that they should have never said. When they walk through these doors, and if I were a legalistic man, I'd right back out the door. Get yourself right and then come back in here. But that's not the heart, is it? The heart is to recognize the brokenness. The heart is to recognize that there are people who need to be loved in this world. And when they walk through those doors broken, it's our job to offer them the healer so that they know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be clear about this. I don't want to get too far off track on this, but I think it's important. There will always be people who will be critical. If you are doing what God has called you to do, don't stop doing it. Don't stop. See, the disciples were doing what they had been trained to do. They didn't do anything different than what they did when they were sent out. Okay? It just wasn't for them to do. It wasn't for them to cast out that demon. So when people are critical, when people are harsh, we need to make sure that we are the kind of people. We just need to love each other, amen? I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm saying too much. Let's just keep it simple. We just need to love each other, and we need to love everybody that walks through those doors. People in the hard lows, they need you to point them to Jesus. The simple fact is, the crashes and the long lows require God. Okay? If you think that there's any answers to any of your problems in life that don't involve Jesus, you've got the wrong answer. Revert back to Sunday school days, people. The answer is always Jesus. If you're not sure, Jesus is the answer. You see, when everything came down and they weren't sure how to solve the problem, the disciples came back and they said, why? I don't understand it. Why didn't it work? Why did we do the same thing we've always done and it turn out differently? And Jesus told them, the reason was that this kind can come out only by prayer. It can come out only by prayer. Now, I want to stop and really help you understand something here. When we are leading people to Jesus, we need to be doing it in His way. Amen? We've all got ideas, okay? Like, if we went down to the Christian bookstore, there are whole sections of books that will tell you how to teach people about Jesus. Do you realize this? And guess what? No two of them are alike. They're all different. It's all a different pattern. You know, when I grew up, it was the Jules Miller film. Anybody that grew up in the Church of Christ knows the Jules Miller film. Okay? It was the way that you taught people about Jesus. And there's all these different books. There's all these different ways of trying to reach people with faith. And so when people come to me and they say, John, how do I teach people about Jesus? I said, you tell them about Jesus. But it also comes down to making sure that we are moving in the right direction. When he said these only come out by prayer, what he was really saying to his disciples is, who were you looking to cast out that demon? Did you become so confident in your own ability and what was given to you that you just tried to do it on your own? Or did you have enough faith to look and say, I need God to be the strength? Did you notice that Jesus, over and over again, when he healed people, stopped to pray? Did you notice that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he stopped to pray to the Father before he did it? You know why he said he did that? He didn't say he did it because it's what had to be done. It was already being done. He said, I'm saying this out loud so that you would know. So that you would hear that I asked the Father to do this work. You see, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We get our plans, we get our ideas, we figure out how we think things are going to go, and we move in that direction when the first thing we need to do is fold our hands, bow our heads, and say, God, what do you want to do here? What is your will? What is your purpose? What is your plan? See, Joshua learned in Joshua 7:6 how this works. See, they'd come off a great victory over Jericho. They had completely destroyed the city with the help of God. They were marching around, looking crazy, probably being laughed at by the people standing on the walls of Jericho. And as the song says, and the walls came tumbling down. And they experienced this. And they were so excited that they ran straight on to Ai. And they thought they were going to destroy it. We got this. We took Jericho down. Ai's going to be a piece of cake. Well, guess what? A lot of people died that day. A lot of Israelites died that day. And the reason they died is because they didn't stop to remember where the source of the power comes from. Never forget the source of the power. It is Jesus Christ. It is God our Father. This is where the strength and the power comes from. And so when Jesus steps into this realm and takes care of the problem that they couldn't take care of, he reminds them to go back to the right place. But Jesus was also there to heal during these long lows. It's interesting to me that as you read this passage, the Father doesn't say, please have pity on my son. He says, have pity on us and show us mercy. I would have not have got that till I was a father. I would not have understood that. But the pain of my children is my pain. The ache of my children is my ache. When Melody was in the hospital with croup, oh man, I'd have jumped in that body and I'd have taken it. I'd have done anything. My lungs weren't working that day. That is the love that we have for our children. That is the power of love. And let me tell you something. That's how God feels about each and every one of you. When you're hurting, His heart's hurting. When you're aching, His heart's aching. He cares deeply for each and every one of you. In the midst of this man's sorrow, Jesus does something special. He looks and He says, how long has he been this way? Now, if it was anybody else, I'd think it's like a physician, right? Well, tell me about his symptoms. What's going on? Jesus didn't need to know, did he? Jesus already knew what was going on. When Jesus reached out to this man, when he looked at him and he said to him, how long has it been this way? He was reaching out to this man's heart. He's basically saying, how long have you hurt like this? How long have you suffered like this? He was reaching to his soul. And he feels the same way about you. Our sins, our sorrows, our pains, they all weigh us down. And Jesus is looking at each and every one of us and saying, how long have you hurt with this? How long have you suffered? How long have you let this thing have control in your life to cause you grief and pain? And the Father's reply, as long as he's been alive. Jesus, upon hearing this man, have mercy on us if you can. If I can, if you can, if you'll believe. Belief is a powerful, powerful thing. It's what God uses to shape and to mold us. Not in yourself, not in what you can do, but in Him and what He can do through you. That is the power of belief. And I will always love this passage, Mark 9:24. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help my unbelief. You are not the only person that's ever had doubts. You are not the only person that's ever been at a point where you looked and said, is there an end? Is there any chance in sight that my pain, that my sorrow, that my struggles will ever come to an end? Because this man's right there with you. I want it. I want to give it up. I want to see my son healed. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. You know what God loves most? Honesty. You know why He loves honesty? Because you're not tricking Him anyways. When you put your sunshine and roses face on, He's not fooled. He knows your pain. He knows your struggle. He knows your sorrow. Stop lying to Him and stop lying to yourself. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to doubt. The question is, can you take the belief that you have and pour it into the Lord? Say, all right, I believe. You know, not a big fan of the Santa Claus thing. Like, we're teaching JJ and Melody that the true story of Santa Claus. But one of the movies I love the most is The Polar Express. You guys seen The Polar Express? Love that movie. There's something really special because this boy, all his life, has wanted to believe that Santa is real. He's wanted it with all his heart. So he takes this train ride on the Polar Express, and he ends up in the North Pole. And here he is with Santa's sleigh bell right in his hand. And he jingles it, and he doesn't hear anything. And all the other kids are screaming about how beautiful the bell sounds. Oh, it sounds so beautiful. And he's ringing, and he's ringing, and he can't hear it. And finally, he just stops. And he bows his head, and he goes, I believe. Almost in tears, and all of a sudden, there's Santa Claus, and the bell starts to ring. That is the beauty of belief. Except, like Mike said, it's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's not some random story. It is truth. That if we believe with all our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we place our faith in him, being willing to die to ourselves, be buried with him in baptism, and rise to a new life, to be clothed in Christ, that our lives can be changed. Jesus was there in that moment to heal. And the healing that he provided for that father and that son was total and complete. That's powerful. I hope that as you enter this year, you enter it on a high. I hope that God is working in your life and that things are flying high and that you feel that deep connection and things are working exactly the way that you would want them to work. I hope that this new year is a blessed year for you, that God brings you peace and comfort and hope and joy. And I pray that it is exactly the way you would dream it would be. But if it's not, it's not the end. The highs here on earth are only a piece of the puzzle. We have to trust in who God is. He will guide you to do the right things. He will help you when those crashes come, and he will carry you through those lows. And we come back to the question, who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ in your life? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he the one you've put your belief in? If he's not, today's the day to change that. Today is the day to commit your life to Christ. If you're here and you're feeling like you're facing a crash or you're in a low, just know that it's not the end. That Jesus is with you in the midst of it all and that he will see you through. That there is nothing you're facing today that is bigger than the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now, and I just want to thank you so much for who you are. Lord, life is filled with highs and lows, and there's times where we feel like we're on the roller coaster and we're enjoying the moment, and things feel beautiful and exciting and wonderful. And Lord, there's times where it all feels like it's crashing down, where we look at our life and we look at our world and we just wonder where joy went. We wonder where our hope is. Lord, it's so easy to become distracted. It's so easy to look at the things in this world that tear us down, whether it's criticism or whether it's just the difficulties of life, illness, pain, loss of a loved one. There's so many things that can bring us to the lowest of lows. And Lord, sometimes it stays that way. But help us to realize that no matter what we're going through, that we can find joy because you're there in the midst of it with us. That you love us so much that even in the chaos, when the world is critical and telling us we shouldn't believe, that you are there to heal. And that when we are that man standing, looking at our life, seeing how nothing else worked, and just wanting hope to believe that things can be better, that you are there. Lord, you never promised us comfort. You never promised us that this life would be easy or without struggle or pain. Lord, help us to stand firm, to be the kind of people that live up to our commitments to you. That no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, that we seek to honor you with our lives. And that we live fully committed, willing, obedient lives to you, to honor you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be a people that rejoice in the struggle, that rejoice in suffering for your kingdom. I just pray that as we move into this new year, as we move into 2020, that you'll give us a new vision. Not a worldly vision of distractions, but a vision of your kingdom. A vision that is amazing, that we stand in awe of the wonder of your love and your grace and your mercy. I pray that you'll bless us as a congregation as we move into this new year. And I thank you for the fact that you have been with us, loved us, and carried us through. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.